My favorite guest is joining us. I'm going to be honest. I know, so I'll say one of my favorite guests to other people because they're not the favorite, but this guy is. Leo Gerard. Leo is international president of the United Steelworkers Union, the USW. It's more than a pleasure to have him with us in the new year. Happy New Year, Leo. President Gerard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Leslie. I'm glad to be here.
So much to talk about. The shutdown continues. And when you look at this, you know, first of all, I'm a Democrat, but I think it's very, very clear that it is Republicans here, Republicans that are mistreating federal workers, Republicans that are disrespecting federal workers, and not just the federal workers, all American workers, because, you know, this has the not maybe not trickle down, but trickle out effect. This is unnecessary to prolong the federal government shutdown for so long. I want to talk about a few things. I want to bring up a new poll. This is from Pew Research. It shows that a significant, not just a majority, significant majority of Americans don't support building the wall the president wants. They don't support, obviously, they highly oppose this shutdown. And it shows that a significant portion of conservative Republicans, around 40%, think the shutdown is no big deal. And that is a problem. Because if they think it's insignificant, they'll make little effort to give workers relief by ending the shutdown. So to my point, Leo, when I said this extends beyond just federal workers, there is a mindset out there that if you're not inside the Beltway, no biggie, doesn't matter, doesn't impact me. But it does. It doesn't just impact the federal workers and their families. But this impacts other families who benefit from these workers, industries connected to all of this. You know, I mean, there's a domino effect here.
Well, look, I'm so frustrated. Let me just say that, to put this in traditional terms, this is the employer locking out over 800 people and forcing more than half of them to work for free. That's a violation of the law in almost any country. And the fact that we mistakenly represent by saying 800,000, we're talking about probably closer to 2 million people, not counting children who are suffering. If you count children who the parents have to worry about whether they're going to be home or they have to can't go to work because they got no child care or whatever the issue is, this is the equivalent of a workplace lockout. And if anybody is going to be held to blame, it's Donald Trump, I should say, and what's his name, Mitchell.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Yeah, we'll talk about them. Leo, what about people that say, you know what, Democrats need to meet Trump in his demand, give him some additional money, throw a little bit more money his way, but they seem to forget.
Amnesia. People have amnesia. Let's go back to when the Democrats offered $25 billion for a wall or for a barrier, or wherever the heck they want to call it, on the condition that we resolved the immigration issues and that the Dreamers got to be able to get some certainty in their life. And Trump said no. Let's go back to the fact that there was a unanimous, almost unanimous vote in the Senate, passed in the House, that went to Trump, who had indicated he would sign it, until Rush Limbaugh and his crowd told him, you do that and you're betraying your base and we're going to get you. And he walked back from that, and since then, it's been his way or the highway. And as I keep saying, this is the economic equivalent of a corporate lockout. And you want to fix it? Then we've got to go back, and we've got to put everybody back to work. Everybody who's lost wages, whether they're contractors or not, has to be made whole by this government. And then Mitch McConnell has to be held accountable. Like I heard one of the congressmen say earlier, the House is one of the co-equal branches of government, so is the Senate, and so is the administration. Now we're saying from the Senate that there's only one branch of government that matters, and that's the administration, because he won't take a vote until Trump says it's okay. It's very frustrating.
Well, it is. And when you look at deeper into that Pew Research poll, it is further frustrating, some of these numbers. The question was asked, if you oppose the wall to the people that they polled, if you oppose the wall, would you support ending the shutdown by spending money on its construction? Or if you support the wall, would you approve of ending the shutdown by giving up funding on it? 7 in 10 of those who support the wall said they would oppose any compromise. You know, 7 in 10, 2/3. But nearly 9 in 10 of those who oppose the wall said they too wanted to stick to their guns. So 90% of those who oppose the wall. So overall, more than half of the country both oppose the wall, but more than half of the country oppose compromising on that position. So if Americans are deadlocked, how can our representatives not be, especially, you know, those in Congress looking at these polls?
I don't believe that we're going to be judged by the polls, and I don't believe that the majority of Americans are taking those positions. The key question is, would you support Mitch McConnell bringing these issues to a vote and then negotiating about a barrier or a wall, or whatever you want to call it? That would be almost a 90% vote. And one of the things that we got to keep doing, I think, is we got to keep showing the damage that this is doing to the economy. I've got just two examples of trade cases where we're getting dumped by subsidized Chinese steel, two cases that are hung up at the International Trade Commission because they can't have hearings that affect thousands of jobs. And there's not a hearing, and as this thing drags on, it will fall behind, there'll be a backlog, and it might take 2 years, 2.5 years to clean up. Those people aren't being counted in the 800,000, but their families count, their jobs count, their ability to produce count. And by the way, just as an aside, while the administration have been talking about their good, difficult talks with China, how they're making progress, let me just tell you, when the data came out for last year, China imports made a record deficit. It was the highest level deficit. China grew in 2018 by 17% to $323 billion on durable goods. So while the administration is talking nice with China, China's flooding our market, and we're paralyzed because the International Trade Commission can't function.
We're going to take a break. Leo Gerard, International President of the USW. We're going to talk with him. We're going to talk with you. Pick up the phone and join us if you have questions or comments. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. When we come back, we'll talk more about the shutdown. I almost said the Trump down, but that's what it is. It's the Trump shutdown, isn't it? We'll talk about the president. We'll talk about Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Democrats, Republicans, and workers, because it's the workers, the American worker, that are losing in this. We'll be back. He's emotional and he's passionate, and that's why he does such a great job as International President of the United Steelworkers Union, the USW, Mr. Leo Gerard. President Gerard, thank you for holding and welcome back. You had mentioned and touched upon briefly in the last segment Mitch McConnell, and I'm glad that you mentioned the Senate Majority Leader, because not only could President Trump end this shutdown by compromising on his wall demands, but the Majority Leader, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, could end the shutdown by bringing up for a vote legislation that the new Democratic-controlled House passed. They keep putting forth legislation. He won't even bring it to a vote. Even legislation that duplicated legislation that McConnell's Senate passed back in December, and they passed it unanimously. So if he allowed for a vote now, it would pass. There would be a veto-proof majority, and that would mean the government would reopen even if the president doesn't want it to. McConnell won't bring it up for a vote. He won't cross Trump. He won't do anything that Trump doesn't want or won't sign. So this is more than the blame game, but I wanted to bring that up regarding Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and get your thoughts on that. And also the fact that to open government agencies that have nothing to do with the border seems more than fair, because they're being thrown into a fight that they have nothing to do with. And the government should never be held hostage. These workers shouldn't be held hostage. And the government should never be shut down over a border wall immigration security issue.
The if you sort of characterize this in traditional employment terms, the fact that you've got all of these workers and their families, the 800,000 plus, being denied their right to do their jobs and to being used as secondary pressure on the Congress, if you put that in traditional employment terms, the Supreme Court has outlawed secondary picketing for workers in a union. So that would be that if I was in a place where I could go and put secondary pressure on by some means, the court has determined that that can't be done. So now we have the government. I shouldn't really call it the government. Now you have the executive branch using its influence to create a pressure on the Congress by having secondary picketing, by destroying people's jobs. And Mitch McConnell has made it very clear that unless the president says he'll support the vote, he won't bring it to a vote. Then that also means that Mitch McConnell has forfeited the influence of the Senate, and it's now become a two-pronged executive branch in Congress, as opposed to three equal pieces of government. So he's destroying the Constitution. He's destroying people's future. And I quite frankly, put more of this on McConnell than I do in Trump. Trump is just dumb. McConnell's a political operative, and he's protecting his people because he knows that 40% of the right-wing Republicans that would support Trump through burning fire, he's afraid that if he gives them a vote, they'll vote to open the government, and then they'll be held accountable by people back home. And he figures he has a better chance if he doesn't vote. And that way he's going to destroy more and more lives. And it's not going to get fixed. And we're down for 3 weeks or a month and a half. It's not going to get fixed in a month and a half going back. This is decades-long damage that they've done to schools, to police, criminal protection, or criminal enforcement, I mean, all things, trade enforcement, health and care, health enforcement. I mean, every piece of life is being affected by this guy.
I want to talk about the people being affected. We've heard stories in the press about people who are working and not getting paid in the federal government. We hear about people suffering. They don't have the money to pay their mortgages or their rent, cost of child care, even the cost to commute to and from work. I mean, they're working and not getting paid. We hear stories about suffering from small businesses, the businesses that cater to those government workers. In your latest blog, Leo, you talked about the workers who are injured. And you talk about this because their cases before the Commerce Department and U.S. International Trade Commission are now unnecessarily delayed because of this shutdown.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about this and to the delay of this and what happens to these individuals who are issued and who are, injured and whose cases are delayed God knows for how long because of the shutdown?
Yeah. In my blog, I referred to two cases that are in front of the International Trade Commission, one by McQueen that makes iron pipes, and the other by Maxion that makes wheels. Both of those cases are brought to the International Trade Commission as a result of Chinese illegality in the trade arena, including dumping and subsidization, all the things that they normally do. That's two examples of many, many cases that are in front of the International Trade Tribunal that won't get heard because there's no money to support the International Trade Commission. So as that's going on, other trade cases are backing up. So it's just not those two. There might be 10, there might be 20, there might be 30, there might be 40, and they're not getting heard. And as they don't get heard, they create a backlog. So the two cases I referred to, if the government reopened next Monday, they may not get heard till next fall. And while that's going on, the Chinese are continuing to flood our markets and dump. And you can go to all kinds of other circumstances. You know, we've got healthcare workers that work in the Department of Labor and influence on safety and health. That's not being done. There's no money to pay the folks that would do the investigation. So, and you know, Leslie, that's not just hurting those families. It's hurting their children. It's hurting the people that were their customers. And it has. If I'm a Department of Labor Health and Safety investigator, and I've got a month where I haven't get paid, I'm not going to be going to buy the same stuff that I would buy. I'm not going to take my car. I'm not going to take the kids to a movie. All of those things have repercussions. And I think one of the problems is, to be blunt, from birth until January the 3rd, Donald Trump had never been held accountable for anything he did. Come January the 3rd, with the new Congress, he's being held accountable, and he's being held accountable by one of the most intelligent, toughest, shrewdest political operative I've ever met, and that's the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. And I'm just really pleased that she's the Speaker of the House, and she's not going to take any crap, and she's going to stand up and fight for ordinary people.
Her daughter tweeted something like, "Don't mess with Mama," when it showed her walking away from the White House with the flames behind her. You know,
yeah.
she's a tough Italian broad, and my mom's one of those. And you want one of those leading the team. We're going to take a break.
Leslie, the steelworker relationship with Nancy Pelosi and her family goes back more than 50 years. We have a huge percentage of our membership in the Baltimore area in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And Nancy grew up in that era where Baltimore was a big, tough steel town, and politics was played hard and tumble. And her dad got elected. Her brother got elected, and she was knocking on doors when she's 16 years old. Donald Trump couldn't knock on a door. He had them all open for him.
Yeah, so the difference between, yeah, one was given it, one worked hard for it, it's clear. We'll be back with Leo Girard right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. Like I said, pick up the phone and join us. Talking to Leo, take your calls. We'll try and fit those in. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Follow Leo on Twitter at USWBlogger. And the handle on Twitter for the Steelworkers is at Steelworkers. Check out the website, usw.org. We are back with Leo W. Girard, as in USW. He's international president for the United Steelworkers. Leo, thank you for holding. Welcome back. We had talked at the beginning of this hour, both of us, about how this is not just about federal workers, but that there's a trickle-over effect, and that ultimately every worker in the country could, in fact, suffer repercussions because the shutdown and the tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese exports to our nation are decreasing economic growth. Talk to those workers. Talk to every worker out there who could be impacted, some of which don't feel, according to the Pew Research, like this is such a big deal. It could become a very big deal.
It's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal because you just got to put it in very simple terms. Imagine not getting paid for 1/12 of the year. Zero. And add to that 1/12 a year, which is a month, add to that 1/12 of the year that half of the people that were not making any income had to go buy gas and bus tokens and whatever so they could get to work. And if they don't get to work, some of the Republicans said they should be penalized. You know? So not only are you depriving them and using them as pawns, now you're going to punish them if they can't, you know, sell enough stuff at the yard sale to pay for the gas to go to work. I saw one woman on television this morning who was doing blood donations to get enough blood to get enough money to go to work. I mean, give me a break, man. And then let's not try to pretend that this is anybody's fault but Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, period. And as I was saying at the end of the last segment, Donald Trump has spent from birth until January the 3rd be unaccountable for anybody. And now he's got to be held accountable for damaging and destroying lives. I just talked to one of our folks who was traveling, they were at a TSA lineup. The lineup took three times longer than it normally did, not because those TSA folks weren't doing their job, just because there was not enough of them that could afford to come to work. We had a rally at the Pittsburgh airport, the steelworkers and the TSA workers, today. And we had our congressman there, we had our governor there, we had our mayor there, and they all know what's at stake.
This is what kills me. The other day on TV, one of the shows, one of the guys said, oh, so what, people have to wait in line longer. I said, if people are calling in sick, because, you know, this is really affecting them mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, obviously, or they have trouble getting to work, like you said, commuter issues, or some people are just sick and tired of working and not, you know, having money or having the government have their back, the president tweeting out, if you're a federal employee, go find another job, crying out loud. It's not just long lines, Leo.
It's not just long lines.
It could affect national security because there are people saying they're sneaking things through that couldn't get through before. That's the question
I've been asking to folks is, what's it going to take? We've got air traffic controllers who are being, again, not getting paid, have the stress of that very, probably one of the most stressful jobs in the nation, and compound on that the stress of their family circumstances, whether they'll be able to put food on the table. What's it going to take? We've already had the food inspections cut by 90%. We've already had in the past over romaine lettuce and strawberries and all that stuff that managed to get through the system. Now when you got nobody in the system, is it going to take an E. coli catastrophe? I mean, these two individuals, the Trump and what's his name's?
Mitch McConnell.
I always get stuck by mispronouncing his first name, doing it with a B. And I think the American public's got to let their anger show and let it show at the right people. And I think Nancy's doing the right thing by bringing bill after bill after bill to open up the departments and put them back to work. And we need to, as citizens, say that those workers who worked for contractors, where the contractors weren't able to pay those workers should also be made whole when this thing gets resolved.
I want to ask you, there's so many things to talk about. Let's talk about your blog, excellent blog, entitled The Indignity of Work Without Pay. And you talk about somebody many of us like in the Democratic Party, a Democratic senator who just won re-election by nearly 7 points in Ohio, which has become such a red state, and that's Sherrod Brown. He talked to us about this Dignity of Work listening tour that he launched, because this is somebody who appeals to both left and right, obviously, with the re-election that he won and the point spread in such a red state as Ohio.
I've known Senator Brown when he was Congressman Brown, and when he was Attorney General Brown in Ohio. He's never wavered in his understanding, it's the best term, of the dignity of work. He understands that a job is more than a paycheck, and the number of times that he's testified on our behalf at various trade tribunals, and understood that if someone loses their job, very often that damages their dignity. And so that it doesn't matter whether you're the housemaid or you're the head of the university. You're defined by your work, and your work gives you dignity. When I was a young man, I worked behind a blast furnace equivalent to call a converter. In hot, sweaty, dirty work. But you know what? When I went home, I was proud of what I did. My work defined me. And when you deny people work, you deny their dignity. And Sherrod understands that, and I think that he's going to learn a lot, and people are going to learn a lot from him.
No question about that. Just on a side note, do you think he'll run for president, and do you think he has a good chance?
I think that I'm not going to be the one that tells him what to do, but he's very, very practical. I think he'll go out and judge the landscape, and he'll also judge the potential for others, and he'll judge the potential of making a difference and expanding the dignity of work. This is a new term for many that have heard it from him, but it's not a new term on his behavior over his political career, whether he was running for Attorney General in Ohio or whether he's running for Senate. And so, he knows what the issues are, and he knows that. But again, it's really early to tell what he's going to do. And you know, I'm amazed, having grown up in Canada, where there was a big debate last election in Canada because they extended the time from 7 weeks to 9 weeks for the election to take place within 9 weeks. In America, people got sworn in on January the 3rd in the morning, and on January the 3rd in the afternoon, I started getting calls for asking for donations for the next campaign.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. But that's also a problem with the system. It's marinated in money, and lots of really good qualified people that would make good members of Congress, good members of the state legislature, good members of the Senate, whatever. They got to go out and they got to raise money like beggars on a corner. And the system is so marinated in money that people are losing respect for it.
Well, especially the House members, even more so. I mean, everybody has to go out and, like you said, beg for money, which is terrible. House members get elected. It takes them 6 months to learn the job and their way around. 6 months later, they're spending the last year, half of their congressional career, trying to get reelected. And that does a disservice to every American out there, especially those constituents.
Yeah.
I wanted to... Go ahead, Liam.
Just make one more point. I think that the Supreme Court made a huge, huge blunder in making a decision that money equates speech. Because if you extrapolate that just one level, what the Supreme Court has said is the more money you put in, the louder your voice, the less money you put in, the lower your voice. And it was a disgraceful decision. Because what they did is they turned the system over to the richest people. When you got billionaires who are announcing they're going to run and they might spend $100 million on their own campaign, there's something wrong with the system.
No question about it. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Michael in the Bronx called in. He wanted to weigh in on this on line one. Michael, good afternoon. Question or comment for President Girard?
Hello, Leslie. Hello, Mr. Leo.
Hello.
The first thing I need to point out is that, you know, some of these people, they're not being denied work, but they're being denied pay. And I think we need to stress that. And for this administration to have this idea of people going to work and you're not getting paid, that's equivalent to slavery. And we all know damn well that it's against the law. And I would also add that I know there are some unions, like federal workers unions, I wasn't sure if you're doing this as well, planning to sue the Trump administration, but I would also add that some of these right-wing pundits, the base that encouraged Trump at the last minute before Christmas to not cave in, to not sign in, go for the shutdown, go for the war, stand your ground and all that, they need to be held accountable too, because while you have over 800,000 people trying to make ends meet and struggling, and more to come with those that are getting the food stamps or tax returns or Social Security. And yet the people that caused this that are still fattening their pockets, and that's a disgrace.
Michael, good points, Leo. I would love if we could mount a campaign to try to get people to quit watching some of that craziness with Fox and with Rush Limbaugh. They're doing tremendous damage to the country. Let me just say to the point that the American Government Employees Union, AFGE, is in fact suing the American government on the basis of indentured servitude. When they've told people, you got to come to work or else, but when you come to work, you're not getting paid. In any other time in history of America, that's indentured servitude. It's a form of slavery, and it's being challenged by AFGE, and they're suing And we've told them we would help to every extent we can to engage as a friend of the court with the brief in that campaign. And I think that that's a good fight to have and make public, that you've got a government that is instructing people to come to work. And if you don't come to work, you're subject to discipline, but we're not going to pay you. I've never, you
Thank
know,
you.
Where other, I don't know where that happens anywhere else on the planet except in totalitarian regimes.
Very good point. Very valid point. Speaking of, back to dignity of work for a minute. And this is what Senator Brown said. Dignity of work means hard work should pay off for everyone, no matter who you are or what kind of work you do. Dignity of work is a value that unites us all. This could be something that unites. This could be Republicans saying to Democrats, and we know over 100 Republicans have broken with their party in the House just recently. We do have to give them props. But then, you know, when you go over to the Senate, there's a wall, their own wall, right? No pun. But, you know, when we look at that number in Pew, which we touched upon, the 40%, why do you think that Democrats seem to really care about the people and not just who's being blamed here, not just the politics, not just the polls, and Republicans just don't. Republicans just want to give their guy with an R on his lapel what he wants at all cost. They really don't care about these people and the suffering. And I say that. Is it, Leo, because they're out of touch? Is it because they don't live paycheck to paycheck? You know, people don't understand. If you don't have savings in the bank, you need that paycheck to pay your mortgage or to pay your rent. And banks, as we've seen in the past, aren't that kind or forgiving if you're late. Why do you think there's such a disconnect on the right versus the left with regard to these workers?
There's so much to be angry about. I actually thought I could analyze the presidential election with Trump, because I had to agree that and to confess that a lot of our members voted for him. But part of the reason a lot of our members voted for him then is that they were so disaffected that the system already wasn't working for them, even with a friendly president and when we had a friendly Congress. They said, we've never got anything from the other, so we might as well take a shot at this guy. And I can certainly speak for our members. They're now pretty disaffected with him. I want to make a comment about the comment you made, Leslie. Maybe it shows how cynical I've become. Part of the reason I think so many Republicans voted with the House Democrats on the bill to bring it to a vote and bring it open the vote is I think they knew that Mitch McConnell wasn't going to do it. So when they go back to their home district as members of Congress, Republicans, they can say, I voted to open it. It wasn't me. And so you take that group of residual senators, you got 11, see where they're from. They're already in trouble. So they dumped it because they knew Mitch McConnell wouldn't bring it to a vote. So they're safe. They got the 58 votes. They needed 60. What happened to... Bain, that guy that ran for...
John
Mitt
Bain.
Romney.
I get mind blanks from these Republicans. But
I thought
you
were talking about former.
Where was he? Where was Graham? Or Senator Graham? All so-called practical people. If they'd have thrown those two votes in, then McConnell would have had to bring it. They're playing politics with people's lives. There's a reason that more than 100 Republicans voted in the House, because they knew McConnell wasn't going to do it. Now they think they're safe on the issue.
Leo, we can't thank you enough for being here. The hour flies by when you're here. I learn things, and I feel that I'm not alone with the passion and the anger that I feel over this issue, as so many people listening and that are being affected by this shutdown can relate to everything that you've said. And we appreciate all the work you do, and the steelworkers, and this great union, and you leading this union and showing true leadership, unlike the president of our country. Leo, thank you. Leo Girard, he is on Twitter at USW Blogger, and then the USW, the United Steelworkers, go on at Steelworkers to follow them. You should check out the website. A lot of good stuff there. You can learn about what's going on with workers, you know, how the tariffs, how China, how this shutdown impacts people beyond the Beltway and beyond the federal worker. Go to usw.org.